from Matthew chapter 19. Jesus said to his disciples, "Amen, I say to you, it will be hard for one who is rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I say to you, it is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for one who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished and said, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "For men this is impossible, but for God all things are possible." Then Peter said to him in reply, "We have given up everything and followed you. What will there be for us?" Jesus said to them, "Amen, I say to you, that you who have followed me in the new age, when the Son of Man is seated on his throne of glory, will yourselves sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has given up houses, or brothers, or sisters, or father, or mother, or children, or lands, for the sake of my name, will receive 100 times more, and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first." The Gospel of the Lord. This is a great gospel, isn't it? However, for some, I think it can be very unsettling. Thank God, it should be unsettling. All gospels should be unsettling, at least according to El Salvador's late Archbishop Oscar Romero. Referring to the gospel, he said, "A gospel that is not unsettling. What kind of gospel is that?" In other words, what's the point? For 2 days now, we've received an unsettling word from Jesus as Matthew addresses issues of wealth in his day. Yesterday, we observed the dilemma of a rich young man who wanted to follow Jesus and the ways of God and to gain eternal life. Yet, when invited by Jesus to go and sell all that he had so as to give the proceeds to the poor, he walked away sadly because of his many possessions. The gospel gives the impression that, as sincere as he may have been, he just couldn't part with his possessions. He could not let go of his stuff. Today's message, just as unsettling, just as dramatic, drastic, and radical, really catches our attention because of the image of a camel trying to pass through the eye of a needle. I can't even seem to get thread through without spending an inordinate amount of time at it. Drives me mad. Jesus uses the exaggeratedly impossible image to describe how difficult it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. Now, let us admit right off the bat that we all know rich folks who have used their great wealth in selfless ways beyond imagination. I certainly have known them. The more they had, the more they gave, and the greater difference they made in life and in the world. True holy heroes. At the same time, we do know folks like the rich young man in yesterday's gospel who simply can't part with a dime. If we are too much in love with money or with stuff, there simply won't be enough room within us for the kind of love God is seeking from us. We should all take great care to not allow anything in life to be more important to us than the reign of God around us and within us. But I sometimes think we may define wealth and possessions too narrowly. Personal wealth need not be limited to just dollars, investments, houses, cars, or any kind of material possessions. I have a story that speaks to this idea. One of the times that I was working with a small committee in planning a parish liturgy, today's gospel was the exact gospel of the day with which we had to contend. Following a very energetic exchange, that produced some good liturgical ideas and preaching possibilities, one of the men on the committee jokingly said as he departed the room, "Well, I guess I can thank my lucky stars that I'm not rich. At least I don't have to worry about this gospel." Everyone chuckled, of course, and seemed to identify with such a comfortable position. Although I knew the fellow to not have great financial wealth, however, as I thought about it, I thought from the quiet depths behind my button lips, "But what about your attitude? There is no end to it. And what about your ego? It's bigger than this choir room. What about your judgment? It seems constant and quick and often harsh. What about your opinions that never even entertain the possibility of an alternate viewpoint?" It was amazing how many thoughts of what wealth and possessions could really mean suddenly flooded my mind. And then, just as amazingly, as the Spirit of God would have it, I believe, my thoughts turned instantaneously from silently asking those questions of him to asking them of myself. What about my possessions of attitude? What about my wealth of opinion, of ego, and of judgment? What constitutes my wealth? As a Dominican, it certainly is not money. Yet, wealth is there, in attitude, in opinion, sometimes in judgment, oftentimes in ego. Wealth is there, and it needs to be confronted just as surely as financial wealth. In closing, I invite us all to get both comfortable and as unsettled as possible with today's gospel. The more unsettled we feel, the more we may get it. And the more we may get it, the more we will have the chance to experience rewards beyond description. Let us wrestle honestly with this text. Let us wrestle honestly with the question of our own wealth, be it financial or attitudinal. I promise you, if we take it on, it will be far more rewarding than trying to camelback ride through the eye of a needle.